Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bays. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Yeah, we're both here. From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Gasper and Murray, 98.5, a sports hub. After a week off, back for a new year, fresh new start. Morning, Chris. How are you? Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you as well, my friend. Doing pretty good. Yeah, 2021.
Enjoy some time off. Do you have a good New Year's Eve, Christmas, all that good stuff?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I mean, not Christmas. I worked Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So
man,
I was
always trying to keep you down.
I was anchoring on Channel 5.
Yeah, working a lot.
Low man on the hierarchy over there.
Mm. Well, it's good to see you. Good to be back. I know I always like getting you fresh. You didn't work yesterday. There was no Felger and Maz.
No.
A lot has happened throughout the week. Zdeno Chara gone. Washington Capitol. Patriots lose again, but seemingly getting worse as the year goes along. I mean, I knew they weren't a good team. I never believed in hashtag the path. I believed in the path, hashtag the path to a top five pick. And again, if you look at strength of schedule, had they actually lost that game against the Jets earlier in the year on Monday night and lost the one that was gifted to them by the refs that was given to them against the Arizona Cardinals, they'd be in the top five picking right now. Looking for a new quarterback for the rest of the future, but here we are picking in the teens. I know they have a 0.7% chance to get into the top 10, but be that as it may, that loss to the Bills on Monday night was just, I thought, very eye-opening, Chris, in a lot of ways. The Bills come in here, they stomp on them, they have no respect for them, they're going for it on fourth down three times. Fake punt, like, we can get to that. A bunch of stuff throughout the week that, I know you want to touch on. Frankly, I just want to start for a few minutes on the college football playoffs.
Okay.
Specifically, the Ohio State demolition of Clemson last night and the play of the quarterbacks, Justin Fields for Ohio State, Trevor Lawrence for Clemson. I know we don't, talk a lot of college football in these parts, but hey, whatever. It's our first show of the year. It's our show, and I do what I want. But look, this has implications for the NFL as both these guys are going to come into the draft. They're likely going to go 1-2. And last night, I thought it was very eye-opening, and I'm now ready to say it, because I said it with a little bit of trepidation around this time last year after the championship game where LSU demolishes Clemson. And I thought, like, look, I loved Trevor Lawrence, and a few years ago in the championship game against Alabama, it's like, oh, this kid's the next guy. He's going to be the guy. And then that game against LSU last year, I was like, well, he looked, like, rattled a little bit, throwing a lot of balls in the dirt behind guys. Last night, turn away from pressure, just seemed to like try to chuck it out of there.
Yeah, he Bledsoed it a few times.
Yeah, you can tell he doesn't like getting hit. I get it. No quarterback does. But now he's going to likely be on a very bad team, Jacksonville or the Jets, going to be facing a lot of pressure. And some guy tweeted it to me last night when I was tweeting about Justin Fields, who I thought was the balls.
He was immense in that game.
Someone referred to him as Kirk Cousins with hair. And I can't get it out of my head now, Chris. Because you see the tools, you see the talent, you see the big arm, you see the size, but there's just something not there with Kirk Cousins, and it's never been there. And Look, I don't know. Like all these prognosticators, I know Burt Breer, like those that cover the NFL, like they say this is the can't miss prospect at quarterback, the guy, like,
yeah, he's
generational
like Andrew
player.
Luck. He's
Andrew
like,
Luck, know, Peyton yeah. Manning. He's yes. that guy. I don't know. Is he? So I'm ready to say, I don't know. I don't really truly believe in Trevor Lawrence, and I think the Jaguars legitimately have a real decision to make here, because Justin Fields last night, 22 for 28, 385 yards, and I know he wasn't good for anyone that watches college football or yeah. bets on it and watched the game against Northeastern a couple of weeks ago.
Northwestern, Big Ten championship
yeah.
game. Yeah.
He was not good for like three quarters and then came alive in the fourth quarter and was good-ish, but...
Not really. He was 12 of 27 for a buck 14 with two picks. He was awful in that game.
He was all right towards the end. He was not good overall.
I mean, be honest. That was a Cam Newton-esque performance.
It was not good.
The numbers were Cam Newton-esque in that game.
But last night, Chris, I thought that Justin Fields came into that game saying, okay, and like they were referring to it in the broadcast, too. Like, I have to out-duel Trevor Lawrence yeah. to also improve my draft status and silence the doubters,
yes.
and also help Ohio State win this game.
Yes.
And the guy laughs off pain after he basically gets his ribs crushed on that hit that gets the kid ejected. I don't know what you're supposed to do there. They call it targeting. Same player 2 years in a row. I guess you got to raise your head a little bit more, but it looked like a clean tackle to me. Be that as it may. Laughs off the pain, throws six touchdown
yeah,
passes,
awesome.
Leads that team. He's throwing absolute lasers. I if I'm Jacksonville, I really have to look at this tape. I have to talk to every single coach, even down to when these kids were like peewee football players, because I think you now have a difficult decision to make, because I don't know. There's something about Trevor Lawrence that just scares me a little bit. It really does. And all these guys that know the game and have followed it and you know, to the minutia of it, all these years to cover it, fine. Like, you know more than you can about football than I ever will. But just eyeball test to me, there's something about Trevor Lawrence in these two gigantic games these last couple of years that scares me. And that toughness that Fields showed last night and shaking off what I thought like was a hospital hit, that really showed me something. So I think one of these teams might end up making a massive mistake, and it wouldn't shock me if Fields is actually better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked by that either, but I still don't think Jacksonville has much of a choice here. I think if you go by body of work, it's Trevor Lawrence. You know, the common denominator in the two games is he has not played well at the Superdome for whatever reason, against LSU and then obviously against Ohio State. I know there used to be a thing, you know, the old, it's Oracle now, but back when it was the Oakland Coliseum, Larry Bird used to just not shoot well there. And I don't know if there's something like that with Trevor Lawrence. I think both these guys could have really good careers. I can't alter the order based on one game. Fields clearly outplayed him. No question about it. Fields, to me, is a top five. But what I think Fields did last night was say to the, and I like Zach Wilson, but say to like the Zach Wilson zealots, like, slow your roll. You know, this idea that Zach Wilson will be the number two quarterback and should automatically go ahead of Justin Fields. It's like, whoa, hold on a second now. You know, Justin Fields is still legit, because coming into the year, it was very clearly Lawrence Fields 1-2. So I think that's what he did. But to jump Trevor Lawrence based on one game, I mean, again, if you flip it back to their championship game performances, obviously, as I mentioned to you, Trevor Fields was not good at all.
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields wasn't good at all, whereas Trevor Lawrence lit it up, you know, against Notre Dame. So I think, obviously, it's a big-time game. And you look at it, and it's, how can you not compare the two guys when they're playing against each other? And Justin Fields throws six touchdown passes, and you're right, he's throwing darts. But I think that's where you make a mistake, is when you base it on not the full body of work, but one game. I think, you know, any team doing their due diligence should look at Justin Fields, but I think when they look at these two guys, you're still going to come up with Trevor Lawrence as the guy.
Overall, you hated those games though yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I just wanted a game that came down to the end.
Yeah, the Alabama Notre Dame game was pointless.
Yeah, and Alabama, honestly, they let their foot off the gas. They're like, this is boring. We're as bored as the rest of America with somebody beating Notre Dame's brains. The best part about that game was the post-game press conference, where Brian Kelly was absolutely Trumpian in the way that he tried to frame the reality of his team getting its ass kicked once again.
Oh, he's a
in a huge game. And he mentions the fact that he's like, well, we beat the number one team. People will
without
say
their quarterback.
People will say they didn't have the quarterback. Yeah, people will say that, because it means you didn't really beat the number one team. Like, yes, they were number one at the time, but they didn't have... That's like some team, you know, being like, well, you know, Like if in 2007, well, we beat the Patriots, but Brady didn't play.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what are you talking about? So I just thought the two games were dull. And if anything, I'm going to get on my soapbox again. I think they need to expand this thing. Because who's to say, and I know Texas A&M got their butt handed to them too by Alabama. Now, when that happened, Alabama had Jaylen Waddle. But I think just for the excitement factor, there need to be some other games in the playoff that are more competitive. And maybe that's not the final four games, but if you go to, say, six and play in for the last two spots, I mean, I'm just going to say this, and people can say that I'm being ridiculous. I think Cincinnati would have, based on the way they played against Georgia.
Well, that game was that was awesome.
I think they would have given Alabama a better game than Notre Dame did. I really do.
Yeah, I do too.
I really do.
Yeah, no, Notre Dame had no business being there.
My other takeaway is Mac Jones looks a little overweight, and I don't think he's that good. Like, I think if you put Ian Book on Alabama, it would look exactly the same.
Yeah, I think that has more to do about your, you know, your wide receivers.
And, oh my God!
Like it's the other players at Alabama.
He's playing with NFL wide receivers,
yeah,
an NFL running back, and an NFL offensive line against college teams.
Some team's going to make that mistake of taking him too high. I hope it's not the Patriots. But if you want to weigh in on anything regarding last night's championship games, have at it at 617-779-0985. We will take those calls. Again, I just that tweet shook me.
It did.
It's Kirk Cousins with hair. That's Trevor Lawrence. And I was like, oh God, it might be. I really was impressed with Justin Fields last night. Like,
no, he was great. You're right.
And that hit. And Chris, I'd be in the hospital for a month. Now, granted, I'm a puss, but that kid just like, he grimaced on the sideline.
Yes.
But, you know, he took off a play and then came back, rolls right, throws the touchdown. It's like, oh my God. Like, yeah. And then, you know, he's grimacing on the bike as he's trying to keep himself loose later in the game. But I just, like, otherwise, when he was on the field, he didn't show
anything. He was nails. And it should be awesome. Hopefully, it's a very competitive. The one thing I will say is the Alabama-Clemson championship games, and I was privileged to cover a couple of them.
Oh, they're
have been great, games.
Yeah.
And I think Alabama-Ohio State could be a great game, too. And that's sort of the redeeming quality of it. But again, you know, when it feels like it's sort of, Ohio State Clemson was the one I was really looking forward to because I thought it would be a close game, and kudos to Ohio State. They made it not a close game, but when one of the semifinals feels like a fait accompli, which Alabama Notre Dame did, you're doing it wrong.
What do you hunt on from the week? You want to go back to the Pats. Bills blowout at the hand of Buffalo, which I feel like just shows how much has changed for the Patriots this year. The Zdeno Chara news, anything else from the week? What do you hunt on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hot on all. I'd say big picture Patriots, you know, in terms of what's going on with the team moving forward and what's going on tomorrow. And this is something that I don't know if you've talked about, but it's been interesting because there's been pushback against this when I tweeted it. I don't understand how we went from in the spring, the Patriots are completely comfortable going into the season with Jared Stidham as their starter, to it's not even worth starting him in a game to see what he can do, and then Belichick telling the guys across the street, basically when asked the question, you know, is it possible that maybe you already know what you need to know about this guy just from practice? And he basically says, yeah. I mean, how did we go from that? And how is that not a situation that it directly contradicts where we were in the spring? And it's like everybody's just like, oh, no, that sounds right. Oh, yeah, Belichick says this guy's purple. Oh, yeah, I see, purple. Yeah, that's right.
Bill,
I mean, you could
Bill
do
Jong-un.
That. You could do that type of crap when you were winning. But now that you're losing, which to me fits into a bigger picture thing I want to talk about, which is just I had this sort of epiphany the other day related to the Stidham thing, which is, do you think there's another sports market in the country or another sports team in the country where the majority of the fans feel that the coach is the most important piece? Like, do you think in San Antonio, they're like, well, we have Pop. We're going to be a championship contender. It wasn't Kawhi Leonard or Tim Duncan or Manu Ginobili or Tony Parker. No, we have Pop. We have Greg Popovich. So that means you'll find some other guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't speak to that, but it's a good question. I mean,
professional sports wise.
Oh, I mean, professional is going to say, yeah, maybe in Birmingham, Alabama.
I'm yeah, sure Tuscaloosa they, yeah, yeah. Or, you know, Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah. No, in pro sports? No.
No.
No, there's no
right?
Yeah. It's
there's
just
no,
going to be here.
It's just here.
Yeah.
Just here. So that's the outlier. So the coach is the greatest coach of all time. So is he really that one coach that just transcends it all? And yeah, as long as you have him, you will be a contender? Or are we just wrong?
Oh, I think it's probably we're just wrong.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I that's what I think. I mean, I do. Because there's not another place you can go, Jim, where they're going to say the coach is the most important part of it, and as long as you have the coach, you'll always be a championship contender. I can't think of another professional sports team. I mean, again, like I said, the Popovich, and I think Popovich is as close an analog for Belichick as you're going to find, right down to the way they are with the media. But I don't think in San Antonio, they love the guy. They probably have trust in him to rebuild it. But I don't think they're like, oh, well, it doesn't matter. Like, are you kidding me? Popovich can make DeJounte Murray into Kawhi Leonard, or Popovich can make Jakob Poeltl into Tim Duncan. Because he's Popovich.
Yeah, no, I think that that's delusional. And that's not to take away from the accomplishments of Bill Belichick, because I do think he is the greatest coach of all time.
Agreed.
His ability to find guys that were trash heap players or off the street guys and
turn
them into household names around here, or guys that go get paid elsewhere, like Kyle Van Noy.
Yeah.
He's better than that than anybody I've ever seen in my life. But if Brady was never here and he doesn't hit that scratch ticket in the sixth round 21 years ago, does he win one with Bledsoe? No. And at this point, he's a D coordinator somewhere, still kicking around the league. You have to have the quarterback. That's the more important piece. I've always thought that.
Yeah, I just think it's really interesting because, again, I don't think anywhere else would they argue that as long the coach is the most important piece. Because
are they talking about Pete Carroll like that in Seattle?
No. And I think, and the reality is, it's not. And I've said this before, and I truly believe I think Bill's better at his job than Tom is at his, and I think he was better the whole time. But the reality is, he's a coach, and there's a limit. There's a limit on the impact a coach can have versus a great quarterback. Great quarterback will always give you more margin for error than great coach. Always.
Yeah, and I want to go back to Monday night's game, too, because I thought that there was so many fascinating things that came out of that. I knew they were bad. I didn't think they were that bad. And I thought it was so telling that the Buffalo Bills really wanted to make an example of
the
Patriots on Monday, too.
They
so
did.
We'll get to that. And if you want to weigh in on what Chris was just saying about Belichick, you can get to that, too. 617-779-0985. Oh, and we will go to the Celtics, obviously, because I have things to say about that hideous loss from late yesterday. Because I should have bet on that game. I knew it in my bones that the Celtics were going to end up losing that game somehow, and they did. We'll get to that at the Celtics Sports Hub Celtics show that comes up at noon. All right, we're off and running here. Casper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Casper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
This is Casper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
General Chesty, league leader in punt return average. Fake. Is back for the Patriots with a fake and a throw to the right. And Saran Neal makes the catch, leaking out for the Bills with a grab at the 47-yard line along the near sideline as Buffalo celebrates.
So again, I found that so telling. That's from the Patriots' loss on Monday night to the Buffalo Bills, 38-9, the final. Bob Sosi, Scott Zolak on the call, but that's the fake punt. 2 straight weeks, by the way. Again, the Dolphins completed one the week prior, comes back because of a procedural penalty. But they went for it, got it, and comes back. And then this week, the Bills do it, no problem. Sleep at the wheel, Gunner's wide open, bang, they completed. But I just thought that, along with the fact that they go for it 3 times on 4th down, Chris, they had no fear of turning it over on their own side of the field. They came in here, and not only did they beat up the Patriots, they didn't even respect them at all. There was no fear. And I think that there was some of that trepidation on behalf. I think even people like you that felt like, well, Josh Allen is still, you know, the Patriots are still in Josh Allen's head.
Yeah, Belichick's in Josh Allen's head the way he used to be in Peyton Manning.
And I can understand that because they played, and he did too. He and the Bills played so tight earlier in the year in Buffalo, and Patriots had a chance to actually win that game or force it to overtime until Cam Newton fumbled. I can understand that. Like, they had to get over that hump. Well, they did. And I think that they are a legitimate threat to come out of the AFC. I really do. I think they could actually challenge and maybe even beat Kansas City in Kansas City.
Wow.
I do.
You're all in on the Bills.
A little bit.
So let me ask you this, because normally you're all about the, you know, Schadenfreude factor. And the Bills are one of those franchises that tortures their fans. They are sort of marked as losers for their history. Are you rooting for them to break through?
If not Tampa, I want the Bills, yes. Yeah. I've come
that is
that.
Very unlike yep. you.
Yeah, I know. But I've found them, I think they're enjoyable to watch.
Okay.
I would like for Josh Allen to prove many of the doubters wrong, yourself, Greg Bedard, others.
Yes, sure.
I was one of them, too. I think the kid can play.
Okay.
Maybe that has to do more about Brian Daboll, their OC, than he. But I think that, you know, that kid can sling it. I think he's gotten more accurate. He still has to win a playoff game. He was horrible against Houston last year.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll be proven wrong there. But I would like that narrative to die because I think the kid can play.
You're such an enigma, Jim.
And I know some Bills fans. And while I've enjoyed, again, the sports Schadenfreude and laughing at their pain all these years, they're a fun, wacky bunch. They like letting themselves on fire, throwing themselves through tables, having sex in the parking lots before the games. It's a very sexual stadium. There's a real vibe there in Buffalo. So,
yeah,
you know, what the hell? Like, okay. After all that misery all these years, the four straight Super Bowls.
Big Jim's mellowing.
Yeah.
In his old age.
Yeah, you know, like, I want Cleveland, the Browns, to suck forever. I'll never come off that. But with the Buffalo Bills, yeah, why the hell not? Those people deserve a little bit of enjoyment at some point in their life with that team, because all they've known really is misery. So if not the Bucks, yes, I'm pulling for the Bills. But they, I'll say this, like, even if they don't make any kind of noise in the playoffs, I think they're going to be a problem in this division for a while. They're not going to go away. And that was the other thing. Like, I came away from Monday night, Chris, feeling like okay, Cam Newton's the problem, like a problem, but he's not the problem. And I knew there was a disparity in roster talent when you looked at the game against the Rams a few weeks ago. But in terms of a team in your own division, you're not close to Buffalo. You're not.
No, I would agree with you on that.
They got problems going forward. Miami, too. And maybe Tua is not the guy. But that roster's more talented, and they have buy-in there with Brian Flores.
Yes.
And the Jets might now find the guy, or maybe a new coach comes in and can coach up Sam Darnold, and they could be potentially problematic, but still the Jets. But either way, with Buffalo and Miami, you're not as good as them in terms of the roster. You're just not.
I mean, I think for two decades, you were on the right side of the quarterback gap in the AFC East, and now you're on the wrong side of it. Josh Allen is clearly the best quarterback in the division, and you don't have an answer. You don't have anyone who's close. And for me, and I said this on Twitter, what was most petrifying about that game was how comfortable and confident Josh Allen looked against Belichick. Because to me, Belichick was sort of your last stand, your last resort to keep Buffalo at bay from, you know, really, they were going to win the division this year. But if you could count on the fact that Belichick could unnerve and get into Josh Allen's head and make him play in a way that resembled the old Josh Allen, I felt like, okay, you have a chance. But for him to go out there and be 27-36 for 320 yards, four touchdowns, and no interceptions, that absolutely petrified me. Do you know that in the prior four games against Belichick, he had thrown three touchdown passes total and been picked off six times?
No, it was Peyton Manning-esque, like you said.
I mean, it was brutal. I thought that Belichick and the Patriots occupied real estate in this kid's head, and he just exercised all those demons on national television and clowned you. He straight up clowned. I mean, honestly, this was like Charlie Murphy playing Rick James on Chappelle's show, and the Patriots and Bill Belichick were the couch.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
F your couch, Belichick.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah,
they were completely disrespectful, 100%.
They were. And so
forget your couch.
Yeah, they've fallen hard, Chris. Like, I kind of knew that anyway, but, like, you know, the Rams have a lot of talent outside of golf. But in your own division? So, like, it's not just an AFC thing. Like, it's an AFC East thing. Like, you're looking up now at least two teams, and you got a long way to go. Because it's not just the quarterback that's the problem. That's the most important piece, yes. But, you know, these last few weeks defensively, I think they've been wretched.
Well, they've had a lot of injuries, Jim. I mean, that's true. And also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention what has become the, you know, primary, you know, reason here, a lot of people think, for the Patriots. Opt-outs, right? Do you want to talk about opt-outs?
Yeah.
Opt-outs. Suddenly the opt-outs are back.
Yeah. You
know, the team, that slogan is next man up. Now it's about the opt-outs.
Of those
opt-outs. I never heard about when they were waxing the Las Vegas Raiders.
And they had the most in the league. Fine. Who really would have mattered outside of Hightower? Maybe Patrick Chung? Maybe.
Chung would have mattered.
Okay. Yeah. Those two.
Yeah.
What? Marquise Lee, the fullback they got from Green Bay, whose name I now forget.
Like, Dan Vitale. Marcus Cannon.
Come on. And
Matt Lacoste.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He would have made a difference with your suck tight ends. Like, please. No. Like, you can't. It's okay, guys. It's okay to admit, because I still see the caterwauling and whining on Twitter. They stink. They stink. And they're going to stink for a while. Here's what has to happen.
Unless they get Jimmy back.
No, Chris, because they get a hit on. It's not just the cornerback. They have to fill a lot of holes. They have to stack drafts, plural, like 2-3 in a row. That's what has to happen, period. If you want to see the Patriots get back to some semblance of greatness and be competitive in their own division in the conference, you have to hit on drafts the next few years.
I do think it starts, though, with a competent quarterback, because I think then Belichick can work his coaching magic. And the whole thing with Belichick, and this is legitimate, his legend is built on doing more with less. And I still think he can do that. There's just a limit. And I think if you have a competent quarterback, then they can make it work with some of these guys. You know, if Damian Harris is healthy, and maybe they go get a wide receiver in free agency, and maybe you draft another tight end that can, I don't know, catch the ball. You know, Devin Asiasi still doesn't have a catch this year.
Oh, he stinks.
So,
Dalton Keene stinks.
I think if you get the quarterback, it really closes the gap. It really does. And I want to see them go get Garoppolo, because I think I was too hard on Garoppolo, but also because I think that he's the ideal fit for what they do. He throws a ton of short passes, which annoys the crap out of Shanahan, but it's exactly what Bill wants to do. And I feel like if Bill really truly believes he has the guy back, then I just think that that will infuse energy into the entire organization. There's just a confidence. And look, Jimmy's not Aaron Rodgers and he's not Brady, but you just look at some of those games, and we've talked about this year, Jim. They get down early, like, say, against the Rams. You know, you're down, like, 17-0 or whatever. You feel like they're down 45-0.
Oh, it's over.
You go back to Super Bowl 51, and Chris Long's telling the story where he's like, oh, I thought I was going to get a ring. I guess not. And, like, Harmon and McCourty are like, oh, we're good. We have Brady. It's 20, you know, 28. Like, oh, no, we're good. Or, like, the, you know, the Falcons guys on the sideline, like, hamming it up, and one of them being like, yeah, but they still have Brady. Like, and I'm not saying Jimmy's like that, but I think he would just infuse a degree of confidence into the organization that they just don't have right now.
Yeah, and on Jarrett Stidham, you know, he comes into that game late, and at least I think we now have a definitive answer to the question, hey, what would it look like with Jarrett Stidham? Just as terrible. The kid
stinks. You think so?
Yeah, he's a marginally talented backup, Chris.
I agree with you, but why not just give him a start? Instead of him coming in and having to mop up another Newton mess, why not just let him start and just to see?
I'm for that. You know, just to, you know, because maybe in his mind.
Because I agree with you, but I just want to see it.
Same. And maybe in his mind, there's a little bit of different preparation. I don't know. Maybe he plays, you know, at a higher level if you let him start a game rather than coming in and mop up duty. I agree. But just overall, like, he's still throwing balls into the dirt a la Cam Newton. He looked rattled at any semblance of pressure. He was wearing too much equipment. I saw our buddy Pete Blackburn at the time say, like, this is what, like, a 14-year-old does when you make a quarterback in Madden, when you create a player. Like, you're adding gloves and big socks and, like, visors. Like, you just make him look like RoboCop. Like, what do you – take off some of that junk, kid. What are you doing?
Like a Nightscape robot.
Yeah. But I'll tell you. Yeah, I don't know. He does not make me feel good about that guy, that kid being the quarterback of the future here. But yeah, why not? This last worthless game tomorrow against the Jets, let him start, because Cam Newton's not the answer. And please, please tell me Cam Newton's not going to be back here next year, because I actually started to feel bad for him, Chris. It's never anything you want to feel like for any athlete or any as a fan or anything like that. When you start feeling bad, you're like, you know, like, oh, it's reached a level like, oh, God, maybe just hang it up or walk away. And in his post game on Monday night, he just sounded defeated.
He did.
He really did.
I said to Joe Murray during post game, you're welcome, that that the Patriots not only lost a game, they lost Cam Newton. I thought that he sort of, you know, just was like, man, I made all these sacrifices. I did everything Belichick wanted. And I'm not saying he's against the organization, but I just felt like he was like, this isn't worth it, man. Like, yeah. I'm getting up at this time. I haven't seen my kids. And it was devastating, you know, sort of to listen to. And I feel bad for the guy as well. Just to go back to the quarterback thing, for me, when I look at the Patriots, the only way this season can be worse than it is right now is if they make zero progress evaluating and identifying who is the quarterback of the future. And I think part of that is being able to comprehensively eliminate Jarrett Stidham, right? And so if we go through the season and you made no progress, zero progress towards identifying or figuring out what your long-term plan is at quarterback, that's a bigger failure to me than finishing with the losing record, not winning the division, getting swept by a division opponent for the first time in 20 years. That I said this from the beginning of the year. I would rather have them go 6-10 and identify their future quarterback than go 10-6 and make the, and I picked them to go 10-6 and make the playoffs, then go 10-6 and make the playoffs. That's my, when I look at this, that's my sort of overarching thought of this season, is that to not even be able to, like, I think we've eliminated Cam Newton at this point, right? We should be able to definitively eliminate Jarrett Stidham, or at least know if he should be part of the plan moving forward for 2021. And I think if you don't take that step, then your season's an even bigger failure than what the record would indicate. So let's say you go out there tomorrow with Cam Newton and you win the game and finish 7-9. Like, what does that accomplish?
Yeah, not a whole hell of a lot. You got to tell me who's going to be playing the most important position in 2021. And should Newton maybe even get another chance? You want to weigh in on that? 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. Coming up next here, Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Learning this system, you just need more time. You need more real reps to kind of go through, because it's only but so much you can kind of make up. Like, you can put the eyelashes on, you can do your eyebrows, you can put your lipstick on, the mascara and the lip liner, but sooner or later it's gonna rain and the real true you will show. And unfortunately, it showed, not necessarily in ways that I wanted it to, but it was just hesitation. But now, you know, as I get comfortable, it's nobody to necessarily, you know, pick at or to say, man, I wish Josh would have, man, I wish they would have. That's not me. I have children, and I know one day we're going to have a conversation, and I'm going to say, as a grown man, you just accept all responsibilities, and you hope who really knows this game just know that they can dissect it for what it's worth.
That's Patriots quarterback Cam Newton talking this week, heading into this final pointless game against the Jets tomorrow, 1 o'clock kickoff. Gasper and Beetle will be on the pregame, then myself and Joe Murray in the postgame, and then that'll be it. And thank you again, Chris Gasper, for switching with me this past Monday night. So I worked the pre, and you worked the postgame.
You're welcome.
And I was in bed by midnight.
The greatest gift you can give someone is to is to convenience them.
Oh, yes. But I found this interesting because Cam Newton this week, you know, he sounded a little bit, a lot more upbeat than he did in the postgame against Buffalo, where he sounded defeated and it sounded like this was it. But, you know, he's talking there about, you know, maybe he needed a little bit more time to prepare in terms of learning the playbook, but he's contradicting himself, because going back months heading into the season, he felt like, well, it felt to me like that he was talking about, you know, he's studying every night, he's learning the playbook, he's totally on top of this. And now that felt like, a little bit of an excuse to me, like, oh, well, you know, if we had a preseason, I could have put in more time. I would learn that there's a lot to learn here. It's a lot to digest. And it's like, well, okay, well, which one is it? Is that why you ultimately didn't succeed here? And should you get another chance in 2021? I just think the guy's washed up. I do. And I think, you know, all that stuff that we always say about Cam Newton throughout this season, I believe, like, consummate professional, good teammate. All his teammates love him. Snappy dresser, swagger. I love all that about Cam Newton. Always did. I think he took too much of a beating outside of Super Bowl 50 when he should have jumped on the ball. You can question his compete there. But other than that, good, you know, I think the guy's good for the league. He's, you know, he's all the accolades that came his way, MVP, all that stuff. Him being one of the faces of the league here in the last decade, I think that's all deserved. But now I think he's washed. There's a real injury with his shoulder. He's never going to be the same again. The guy can't throw. He's no longer confident. I don't want to see him in a Patriots uniform next year. I just don't. But should he get another shot?
I don't think so. I think it's best for him, best for the team to move on. I don't think that I applaud him for not putting the blame anywhere other than himself. But I also look at it and feel I think Josh McDaniels could have done a better job. They could have done a better job in a compressed, condensed time to get a quarterback ready of maybe switching the offense a little more to his skills. I think basically, you know, he said a couple of times like, oh, this offense, you know, it's like 20 years of institutional knowledge and blah, blah, blah. They needed to kind of, I feel like they sort of went halfway, Jim. They said, okay, we're going to integrate some of this new stuff to take advantage of Cam Newton, but we're not going to completely do it. We still want to run our old offense with crappy weapons, and they did him a disservice there. I also feel like on my last point, no matter who the quarterback was, it was going to be a heavy lift. There used to be an old saw about Dean Smith was the only one that could keep Michael Jordan below 20 points per game. Bill Belichick is the only one that can make Tom Brady look ordinary, and he did that last year in the last 9 games or so, and I think that carried over to this year with Cam, just the lack of weaponry around him. He's not good. You're right about the physical problems, but 5 touchdown passes? Five?
No, it doesn't
all year
make
long?
Sense.
I mean, I don't think he's that bad. So I think regardless of who the quarterback was, it was going to be a heavy lift. I think you have to bring in a quarterback that Bill is more, I know this is going to sound weird because he's defended Cam at every turn, but a quarterback that he's more emotionally invested in and a quarterback that means more to him from a legacy standpoint, whether that's somebody he drafts high or it's bringing Jimmy back, because I think that sort of motivates him to make sure that guy succeeds and that he can put the weapons around him to give that guy a chance.
So do you think he kind of got a raw deal here then, a little bit?
A little bit, yeah, I do. I do think he got a raw deal. But look, he underperformed. But I will say, and I've said consistently, I don't care who the quarterback was, it was going to be a heavy lift. I mean, there's just not a lot there to throw to. I'll go back. Anybody that looks at sharpfootballstats.com, good website. Last year, Patriots. Fewest targets to tight ends in the NFL, percentage-wise. The percentage was 9% of their targets went to tight ends. This year, they draft 2 tight ends, move up twice in the 3rd round to draft these 2 guys. Lowest percentage of targets in the NFL, the Patriots. It went down. It's 7%. Like, I just don't know how a quarterback can operate like that. And I don't think they did him any favors by basically just saying, we're going to try and jam a square peg in a round hole. It doesn't make sense. Like, I understood sort of trying to rebuild him and reinvent him a little bit, but once it became clear that wasn't going to work, you had to go in a completely different direction, and I feel like they just kind of went halfway, and they ended up with the worst of both worlds. Like, they didn't fully convert the offense to take advantage of his talents, and he's not comfortable or good enough at this point in his career to do the traditional passing game things that they want to do with the you know, desultory weapons that are around him.
All right. Well, you mentioned the 5 touchdowns, which is five. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't even make sense in today's NFL, which, you know, benefits the quarterback and they make it easier than ever to pass the ball.
Do you know that the league is on track to set records for points, touchdown passes, completion percentage, quarterback rating? I think touchdown passes from quarterbacks. They're on track. Like, somebody said this to me the other day on social media, and I think they nailed it. It's never been easier to score in the NFL, and the Patriots have never made it look harder.
Well, I'm going to make you even feel worse about the Patriots offense because an article came out behind the ESPN paywall yesterday that will make you feel even worse.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
I sent this to you late last night. Did you not read it?
I'm just playing along for the audience, Jim. Go with it.
Oh. Son of a bitch. Well, either way, we'll get to this. I want to touch on this because if you felt bad about the Patriots offense after I tell you why it turns out it's even worse than it probably is, that we all thought. We'll get to this coming up next. And your phone calls. I see you all hanging. I promise we'll get to those as well. Next, Gasper and Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores. .org/Noah.
You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. So before we finally get to your calls, I just wanted to touch on this. There was a, I thought, a fascinating article that popped up behind the ESPN paywall yesterday, ESPN Insider. By the way, just as an aside, you know, it's just one of those things I've never gotten rid of. Like, I've been paying for this, and I keep forgetting about it for, like, 10 straight years, and it's fine. But now you kind of need it. If you go to ESPN lately, like, all their stories are behind the paywall. Like, all of it. Anyway, I know we're all trending that way, but that's just a gripe. But Kevin Seifert posted this article, which was titled, "Want an Advantage, NFL Playoff Teams? Hold on every play because officials aren't calling it." I was like, "Whoa." And he goes on, it's pretty long, but I just want to pick the most important parts here, where he's saying that, "I'm telling you," he writes, "the trend has accelerated in these final weeks of the season with holding. Teams heading into the postseason would be fools to ignore the opening it provides. Two of the 3 lowest per game rates of offensive holding flags this season have occurred in the past 2 weeks, 0.56 per game in week 15, 0.34 per game in week 16, not including those that were called on special teams. For perspective, the average between 2001 and 2019 was 2 per game, a little more than 2 per game, meaning that last week NFL officials threw 84% fewer flags for offensive holding than they did for most of the century."
Wow.
He writes, "Did offensive players abruptly stop holding? Hell no." And he puts this video of the game on Monday night, Patriots-Bills. He goes, "Check out the video of any recent game, and you'll find blatant, obvious holding calls going uncalled. It happened as recently as Monday night when Patriots rookie left tackle Justin Herron took down Bills defensive end Mario Addison."
Oh, I tweeted this one live. Oh, this was egregious.
"As Addison approached quarterback Cam Newton, Addison pulled to the ground. Newton maneuvered for the 9-yard touchdown run to snip the Bills' lead to 10-9. Did the officiating crew forget what holding looks like? Of course not. Was Herron's restriction hidden from the officials he had in his back to? Perhaps. Generally speaking, however, NFL officials have executed enough points of emphasis in recent years to believe that they can calibrate their calls to NFL demands." John Perry, a former NFL referee, said, "Most NFL officials have that skill. They can respond to marching orders." And he goes on and on and on, saying that just like with more proof and pointing out, you know, specific plays in games like Monday nights, that the NFL and their officials have turned a blind eye to holding. And if this is happening the way that the author says it is, then it actually means the Patriots offense is even more pathetic than we thought it was. Fact. 5 touchdowns is bad enough in a pass-happy league that benefits the quarterbacks. But if they're like turning a blind eye to holding, it's actually worse. They should be producing more.
It's
5 touchdowns. They've turned a blind eye to holding, guys. They have 5 touchdowns. They can't move the ball in a pass-happy league. And here's another thing, too, and maybe this is a little too negative, but whatever. It also makes me wonder, is Michael Wainu actually good then? sixth round pick. Oh, he's actually Bill hit on that one. You can't. You say the draft picks, the drafts have sucked. Belichick, the GM's no good. Is he good or is he fake good because he's holding nonstop all season? Seriously, after reading this, I think that's a fair question to ask.
I'd have to go back and look at it. I mean, Justin Herron had two egregious holds in that game that went uncalled, where I think one was on Ed Oliver. And that Mario Addison one, by the way, that one where Cam Newton went into the end zone and scored all that, the touchdown, whatever that deal is, that's their one touchdown in the last three games. And it should have been negated by a holding call. That's basically what he's telling you, is that should have. And I also think Alberto Riveron is a boob. I think he's terrible. And I don't think he should have that job. But the NFL as a whole, I think, has gotten to a point where basically they're catering to fantasy football and they don't want yards and touchdowns wiped off the board. My understanding of holding, and I thought at points they were throwing too many flags for it, but here's what my rule would be, Jim, my general rule. If the holding occurred on the play but didn't have a real effect on the outcome of the play, let it go. But that was not what happened with Justin Herron. Cam Newton was about to get sacked by that guy. It had a clear outcome on the play. You have an obligation to throw that flag. And that's where I feel like somebody like Riveron, who's the director of officiating for the NFL, he just doesn't get it. It's like you can tell your guys to throw fewer holding flags, but you have to say to them, look, here's what we want to do. We want to bring these down. If you don't think, or if it didn't have a clear impact on the outcome of the play, consider letting it go. Instead, he's like, just don't throw the flags. I mean, there's no nuance with this guy. He's a buffoon.
That's silly. And I've always, you know, leaned on the side of reward the exciting play. And if it doesn't truly have anything to do with the immediacy of the play, then don't throw the flag. You see too many in the past. It's like, oh, yeah, that had nothing to do with it, you a-hole. Keep the flag in your pants. Those ones, yeah, keep the flag in your pants. But if it's like this... Again, what are you trying to benefit? Fantasy football players?
Totally.
Like, that's all that
they've
is.
They bent the whole game to fantasy football for entertainment purposes.
And it's funny. So this article goes on, too. And it's worth, well, I'm not going to copy and paste it to send it. Spend the $10, you cheap bastards, and pay for it. It's worth reading. But, you know, their frustration from guys like J.J. Watt and Aaron Donald, whose numbers are down, they're like, well, what do you want? Like, I'm getting held on every play. They're not calling it.
Yeah, it's true. They're not. That's
and,
a good point.
And the sack numbers are down this year, so... Fascinating stuff, I thought. Again, in a league that you thought we know is pass happy and benefits the quarterback as is, they're not calling holds, and the Patriots have five touchdowns. Their offense is even worse than we thought. That was my great takeaway, the one big takeaway from reading this thing. They stink even worse than we thought, guys.
But Jim, don't you know Cam Newton has 12 rushing touchdowns? Don't those count? Those count the same.
Oh yeah, no, so much. Yeah, you know, that's what I want my quarterback to do, to be a running back. Oh, this hell year. Thank God it's finally over. Thank God, like, in so many ways. Just and that, I mean that, you know, globally, you know, like 2020, F off, double middle fingers in the air to that. But also this Patriots season, too, which I sniffed out pretty early. The team stunk. Oh, but the path. You know, you can do with the path, too, and shove it. Two middle fingers.
Well, I mean, there was a path there. There was a path. Yeah. It was real. The path was real.
Sure was.
It was.
Earl, you're actually first up an hour in here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Earl.
Hi, fellas. Great show as usual.
Thanks,
you guys
Earl.
Are two of my favorite radio hosts here. I want to say up front, I'm not a Belichick Bobo, and okay. I subscribe to the theory that Jared Stidham just wasn't good enough to get on the field. But I'm just wondering if there's any credence that can be lent to the fact that maybe Belichick did see something in Stidham, and maybe still does. But this year, he just saw how bereft of talent his team was, and so therefore just said, you know what, I'm not going to turn Stidham into Darnold and potentially ruin him. So Cam's going to be kind of my sacrificial lamb. And you know, Belichick knew maybe Stidham still wasn't ready, but maybe still sees him as a potential quarterback of the future, and just viewed this season as kind of an extended preseason, a transitional year, and said, I'm just not going to ruin the kid.
Okay, and that's legitimate, but here's where I say there's incongruity. That means that the team was propping him up in the spring and lying about feeling good about him, and that, you know, right. We feel good going into the season with Jared Stidham. That's fine. Everything that Earl said is legitimate, but you can't have what we had in the spring that was being reported. And I've seen them do this before. And the example I always use is Gary Guyton. They were weak at linebacker. Gary Guyton was starting for them. He was an undrafted guy, and they, behind the scenes, were propping him up as this great find when they knew at the time that he was basically like a replacement-level player, but he was the best they had, and, you know, it can't be that Bill built a team with any holes, so whatever holes there are, it's just whoever's filling that hole at the time is has, like, way more upside than they really do. At least that's what they'll sort of tell you behind the scenes. And so it's one or the other. Either they were lying about Stidham in the spring, or the situation now is a situation where they're, you know, being sort of disingenuous to protect Cam Newton and saying, well, we know we're not going to play Stidham because he doesn't really deserve to play and he wouldn't be any better, and we've seen all we need to know in practice. The two things don't jive. They don't gel. It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. So at one point, maybe lie is strong, but at one point you were engaging in PR spin and exaggerating. So it's one way or the other, you're exaggerating. Either you exaggerated in the spring saying, oh, well, we feel good about going in the season with him. You know, we're fine. He can be the starter. Or you're exaggerating now that, you know, he's kind of a lost cause and you've seen all you need to see in practice.
Let's go to Paul in Abington on the Patriots. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. A couple of quick notables you brought up earlier as far as numbers. The 9% and 7% for tight end activity, I would have thought that number was high compared to what we've seen in the past 2 years, even as low as that number is. I would have thought it was even lower. And then also 5 touchdowns. You guys keep hitting on fantasy football and everything else included. There's plenty of guys out there now throwing 5 touchdowns in one game, and he's thrown one in whatever, 12 or 13 starts. Kind of piggybacking off that last guy and what he thought about with Stidham and not throwing him out to the Wolves or whatever the case may be, 5 touchdowns in 12 or 13 games is bad enough for me. He should be starting him tomorrow, mainly for the mere fact because there is nothing to play for other than the fact of let's see what Stidham has to offer. So, Gaspar, I have a question for you.
Sure.
And how you guys as reporters go about talking to players and coaches. And everybody yeah. knows that Belichick won't necessarily answer directly. So my question to Belichick, outside of the fact everyone kept asking week to week, is Stidham going to start? I would have worded it the last couple of weeks, hey, listen, based off what's happened so far and what hasn't been done and been produced, does that lead you to want to start Stidham other than just the directness of
yeah.
are you going to start Stidham? And I know, listen, I don't know how you guys put up with him. I think he's the greatest coach of all time, no doubt. We can argue all kinds of stuff and, you know, good and bad about him. But I'm just blown away that you guys put up, and I don't know if it's a contractual thing that, you know, you have to ask questions and he has to ultimately not answer. I don't know how that all works out for you guys, but you guys do a great job.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.